Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A change in the weather pattern is taking shape in the western U.S., and it will finally lead to some rain and snow for parts of Northern California and the Four Corners region, consisting of Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. And this area is in the midst of a long-term high-end drought. More than half of the western states is in extreme to exceptional drought, but thankfully precipitation is on the way this upcoming week. Unfortunately, this same pattern will carry some strong winds, perhaps damaging winds, to Southern California. But that too, there'll be some rain moving in a week's time. So look for wind gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour in cities like Palmdale and Santa Ana, California, with 25 to 40 mile per hour gusts in Palm Springs, LA, Santa Barbara, and San Diego. We'll look at the inauguration forecast for Washington, D.C. in our next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 7 minutes past the hour. I have too many things to do tonight. We have a new drive-through brew where you discover the secret life of the people who work inside drive-through brews. We have a new Usual Edition, our incredible parody of public radio, and by demand, Lesbians in Space. And Vic Ferrari has a new cop story. Velo Hool will explain once again how guppies mate. Florida stories. Everybody loves Florida stories. And a brand new feature. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, but it's brand new feature that you will be able to relate to, I'm sure. And Tollway Road News. There's no other radio show that covers what impacts you and me the most when you listen to the radio, which is the tolls and how they happen and how the charges are made up and all the criminals involved with that. It's a very, very exciting time. One of the things that I was talking to my friend Michael Harrison about, every industry has a mocker. Every industry has somebody who like has a lot of gossip, knows a lot, is a wise person. And in radio, it's Michael Harrison. Michael Harrison is an extremely decent man. He invented album rock. He invented the name album rock, album-oriented rock. When you hear anybody say, well, you know, we're an album rock station, that was Michael Harrison's idea. He's a good man. Michael and I were talking about the interesting fact that nobody seems to be in charge. Who exactly is in charge of our country right now? Who is handling things day to day? That's what I want to know. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, 888-688-WALT. Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to guess the mystery voice in exchange for a prize, and it's a real prize. It's not a prize announcement. It's an actual prize that we will ship to you, like, you know, the morning zoos. If we were a morning zoo, it would be like that. You know how morning zoos play songs, and then they ship out prizes, and then they offer you a chance to win a prize in a national contest. Now let's think about those odds. Do you ever use a scratcher? Pretty much the same odds. 888-688-WALT. Oh, hi. Hey, Frank, thanks very much for calling. Who do you think is in charge? Captain Kirk. Is that what you said? Oh, I misread the screen. It doesn't say Frank. It says William. This is William Shatner. You're saying that you're in charge? Well, that's quite a statement. Now, how did you feel about when the Republican congressman and all of your so-called Republican senators ran out? They went to Burger King. They said, we're going to have nothing to do with this. How did you feel about that?
Deliberate, vindictive, insane charge and encouragement of mutiny.
Well, Mr. Shatner, I understand how you feel. But I don't see it getting any better. Is it getting any better? What do you do to relieve this stress? You must have a tremendous amount of stress. If you're in charge of the entire country, the Treasury, the Mint, the military, all of those women's programs, must be exhausting.
Kink in my back. That's it. A little higher, please. Push hard.
I understand you seek relief in any way that you can. It makes perfect sense to me. William Shatner is in charge of our country. And I feel great confidence knowing that William Shatner is in charge of the country because, one, he's been in charge a long time. Two, he has piloted a starship. Very few people have piloted starships which have dilithium crystal drives. He's managed a bizarre troop of people on his starship, about 350 people on his starship, and then they visit strange new worlds, new life, new civilizations. He's able to negotiate with each one of them. That gives me great confidence. How should I relax, William Shatner? What should I do?
Here's my hand. Hold on. You don't have to be afraid. I won't let go.
It's Sterling on Sunday at 13 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vilo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. Tragedy in my fish room, and it's sad. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Did you know it's legal to own a tank in Florida? And the Tallahassee Commissioner on Ethics does something unethical. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
Guppies are a beautiful fish. And they're so diverse with so many different colors. And occasionally you get a guppy that you really love. Her name was Big Mama. And Big Mama had at least 472 fry. How do I know at least? Well, that's what I counted coming out, but she probably ate some in the process. She gave me 12 months of the best fish you could ever enjoy. In fact, in her aquarium, there was a sign that said, no cussing, no fussing, no back talking. And that's the type of guppy she was. Beautiful. And her babies vibrant. Her babies have been shipped all over the United States of America. And hopefully there's another Big Mama there, delivering a lot of baby guppies with a lot of enjoyment. And her boyfriend seemed to like her too. She was, shall we say, she was a stout lass that every male guppy desires. Could I have extended her life? Not really. Guppies, if you get more than 18 months from a guppy, you have done really well. 12 months is a long life. In my fish room, which has the best care, the best food, the best everything, I generally go through three generations of guppies within 13 months. Mortality is the natural law. From Maine to La Jolla, to my living room, this is Sterling on Sunday, Fishing Report. I'm deadliest catcher, Vilo Hul.
I have to ask Vilo about his divorce, if that wasn't part of the reason for his divorce, that he has about 90, he has 90 aquariums in his home. Let's just not think about that at all. About 90 aquariums in his home. Well, how was your spectacular week? Was it terrific? I'm Walter M. Sterling. That is my name. The M stands for nothing. Like Michael J. Fox, the J stood for nothing. This week, I had to deal with many things. Perhaps you've dealt with them. One out of five Americans will move to a different home, different location this year. Maybe not this year, but in general, it's one out of five. 20% of the population, one out of five. And you know what? We have to move. Now, the reason we have to move is tragic. It is because, I'm going to drink some of this coffee. It is because we rent. We will always rent because I'm in what? What? Show business. And because I'm in show business, not the sales department, I will always have to rent. What does that mean? It means that I have to be flexible. Because when a general manager or an owner has enough bourbon in him or her, they'll look at me and go, this isn't working out, and fire me. Oh, yes, I forgot, it's show business. So there are no protections for people in show business. There's no wacky laws saying, well, you're in show business, you're protected. You're in a protected category. The only protected category I could ever be in is, oh, you've had a polio vaccine. Okay, you're protected. As a result, we were renting a house that we love. We love this house. Made us very happy. My kids felt safe and secure as they could feel with me as their father. And I get a note saying, I'm sorry, you know, your lease is up. I'm not going to renew it because he lost his job. And therefore, he lost his house. And he needs to move back into his original house, which is where we were living. And my lease was up. I had nothing I could do. There are certain cities, maybe you live in one, there are certain cities where there's a practice known as landlord-tenant law, which is a rigorous practice among lawyers. Oh, that is the practice. There's fighting, there's laser tag in the courtroom. They throw eggs at each other. It's an amazing thing. But in other cities, there's no such thing as landlord-tenant law. And I'm in one of those cities with no landlord-tenant law. And he didn't do anything wrong on paper. But it sure is annoying. So we had to move. And we're going to have to move in 2 weeks. So that throws us with a couple of problems. First of all, my current wife has a couple physical challenges, which makes it very difficult for her to do moving things. My kids are not at the best age to help out. The 8-year-old, what's she going to do? She'll move the cat. You know, she'll move the cat. The 15-year-old, very busy with the boys. The 18-year-old goes back to Syracuse University the day after we have to move to our new home. There's a polar vortex of hell. Kid moving back to college, us moving to a new home, all in the same weekend. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes, did I mention it's Monday? Sunday? It's a Sunday. And what do I do on a Sunday? I entertain millions of people from the laundry room. We have to make sure this works on a Sunday from a new laundry room. There's always kinks in a new laundry room. And I'm not talking about the band from the 60s. There are new kinks in the laundry room. I am relieved by the fact, on every survey that exists, the most stressful thing a human being can go through is moving. Death of spouse, then moving. Although my current wife said, no, it's moving is number one. And I thought, well, what is it about moving that is that stressful, that puts it at number one? Why is it that stressful? You know, as I was walking around the house today, I realized something. Consider this. It may sound philosophical, but considering that it is, in fact, very practical and real. When you move, every single thing that you possess, everything that I possess, goes from background and sort of foreground to 100% foreground. I realized this today when my current wife said, let's go through these books and decide which ones you want to keep. These are books I hadn't looked at in 3 years at all, if ever. Now I had to make a conscious decision about each of these books. That takes it from being in the background, passive, has nothing to do with my day, to being an active part of my day. Maybe even an emotional part of my day. Who knew about this? But that goes to every cup, saucer, placemat, table, piece of furniture, hand puppet. Oh, we do a lot with the hand puppets. Everything possible suddenly becomes an issue. Does it go here? Do we keep it? What do we do with this? That's a very different day. It is a little bit the physicality of moving, but it is more the fact that everything's 100% engaged. Now I have to be 100% engaged in everything. That's tough. And then you're kind of choosing in your mind, does it go here? Does it go there? Where do we have the movers put it in the new house? It's hell. And then there's the added feature of the current landlord is going to review our work. When we leave the house, the current landlord, they want to do a, what do they call it, a walkthrough. The landlord wants to do a walkthrough and go through each room and insult you. Wow, that looks like, what sort of writing is that? Can that marker come out? Can that marker come out? What spilled here? This carpet was perfectly nice. Every landlord ignores the fact that five people living in a 100-year-old house for 3 years, something's going to go wrong. It doesn't matter what you do. Something's going to go wrong. Three people, 100-year-old house, 3 years, five people, something will go wrong. That's what they never seem to see. Then the stuff gets on the truck. It gets to the new place, and you're stunned at the things that are broken. In my case, it's four blocks. They have to move everything four blocks, and I become once again intimately acquainted with the economics of U-Haul. Because the one of the smart things that my wife did is she figured out that if we rent a truck and hire a bunch of guys, the bunch of guys will cost maybe $1,000 versus doing a real move, which is getting the thing with the Mayflower symbol on the side and having real movers in uniform fill the truck, empty the truck, unpack the boxes. That costs always $20,000. And, gee, you didn't report this, and we have to charge you extra for this. In my opinion, house moving is the crookedest business there is. Because what do? They look over your stuff. They weigh the truck. Then they go the road, and when they get to my house at the other end, the truck got heavier. Somehow or another, magically on the road, the truck gets heavier every single time. Here's a tip. You don't have to move all those air conditioners, but the truck always gets heavier every single time. Now, coming up tonight, I have too much to do. I have too many things to go through with you. We're going to go over the toll road news and find out what the crooks are up to there. I have an amazing story for you about monopolies. There's all this noise about Amazon and Facebook keeping Parler away, keeping Parler off their platforms, keeping away a new social platform on purpose, putting them out of business on purpose. I'm reading these stories about how Amazon, Facebook, other companies are keeping Parler off of their platforms. I'm looking at them like they're amateurs. I know stories about anti-monopolistic practices that are far more stunning and amazing, and I will share two of those stories with you coming up. Plus, your kid ever go to dance class? Did you ever go to dance class? Did you ever sweat and perspire in dance class in eighth grade? Did you ever do ballroom dancing in eighth grade? For some reason, oh no, not for some reason, for very good reasons, I have blocked all of that out of my mind. I hadn't even thought of it in years. I'd completely forgotten the fact that I had taken ballroom dancing classes. And then it all came back to me in a flood of horror and hormones. And I'll share those stories with you. Oh, many of you have asked nice questions about my daughter, Dorothy, who's 18. She was in the hospital last week. She was there overnight. We were a little nervous because it was the first time she was in a hospital, number one. And in a hospital alone, well, son of a gun, wouldn't you know it? She was in heaven. What? Yeah, she was in heaven. She wasn't afraid. She was fine. She had an IV drip that got her better. She's totally fine. And she gets a menu of food in the hospital that's stunning. It's amazing. It's like a Four Seasons menu in the hospital. She's reading this thing. She's ordering Oreo chip pie. Slices of Oreo pie. She couldn't have been happier. What was a tough experience for us turned out to be a great experience for her. No, really. I'm happy to report she had a strep throat. She was run down. It was a bad strep throat, running a fever. The IV drip got her better, and she's fine. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. I am so glad that you are with us. We're going to have a spectacular, spectacular show. Sterling on Sunday.
Wear your hearing things.
Wear your hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave, and all eyes will be on the nation's capital this coming Wednesday. And fortunately, the weather forecast is a good one, with mostly sunny skies and seasonable temperatures. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will have to wear some winter coats, as there will be cool, brisk winds with temperatures in the upper 30s and lower 40s. Meanwhile, that western storm that we talked about earlier will progress to the southeastern U.S. for the latter part of the week. Look for 2 to 3 inches of rain to fall across most of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas, with possible flooding issues in some areas. New England and the areas to the east of the Great Lakes will see some snow showers and snow squalls. Variable clouds through the eastern big cities, with temperatures in the lower 40s, cooling to the mid-30s by week's end. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, my phone number is live. It's ready to connect with you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. You and I get to talk to each other every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast time. Kim in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, Walter. Thanks for taking my call.
But yes, Kim,
I have
very excited to talk to you.
I love these stories. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my husband had a rare form of brain cancer, and we lived up in North County, St. Louis. And last April, I was looking for a property that would get him closer to Siteman Cancer Center. And so I'd been calling and talking to the property folks that we are here now, and the owner of the other property wasn't going to let me out of my lease until November. So I told him, I said, well, you know, maybe Fair Housing would like to know about this. Oh, he says, they won't talk to you. And so I called him and I said, we'll see about that. Talk to Fair Housing. Oh, they said they're wrong. You know, you guys can get out of your lease early. Well, they not only jumped on the owner, but my husband's oncologist sent a letter. And so the apartment that we're in now, they held the unit from April till we was able to move in here. And he passed away back in November, so these folks have been really good to me.
And what did it take? It took a letter and a phone call.
A letter and a phone call, yeah, because the owner said that Fair Housing wouldn't talk to me. And I said, well, we'll see about that now, won't we?
No, I heard you. What's amazing to me, Kim, is how often landlords lack common sense. It isn't just greed, it's petty greed. It's little things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is the big deal about replacing the bulb? What is the big deal about painting this wall to make me happy? And it's really tragic. Now, in New York City, where I spent most of my life, and probably in St. Louis and in other big cities, the law is written in favor of the tenant. You get in front of a judge, everything's in favor of the tenant, not the landlord. But if you're in commercial real estate, everything's in favor of the landlord. If you're in small towns, tenant-landlord law? They've never heard of such a thing. But I appreciate these stories. I thank you for these stories. I don't understand why the single most important thing in our lives, where we live, how our kids are educated, why those subjects aren't on the radio. I don't know what the hell these fantasy island hosts are doing, screaming at the Democrats. I don't care. You hate Democrats? I don't care. You love Democrats? I don't care. I care about my kids and my house and my money and why the service engine light on my car never, ever goes off. Thank you for your call, Kim, at 888-688-WALT. Why doesn't it ever go off? I just wasted $2,000 to fix that car, and the service engine light is still on. I believe, consider this possibility, that when life on our planet is wiped out due to a meteor, and there's no sign of life or anything else powering any of our equipment or our buildings or our homes, nothing, there's no power, blinking in the Midwest, keeping the animals, the few that have survived the Holocaust, will be my service engine light. It's never going off. Ever. And I have to get my car inspected like once every hour. And I go in there, and even before I pull in, they say, if there's any light on that dashboard, don't even bother to come in. Don't even bother to come in. These are the problems. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. You know, there's all this nonsense talk about Parler, a new social media platform, a new social media platform, or as Betty White says, social media is for losers. Social media, and she's right. And they're having trouble getting a foothold on Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, any other place that they can establish and start their business. And everybody's whining, oh, this is anti-competitive practices, this is censorship. No, it's called competition. I could care less if there's a new social media site. Really, Facebook, where I can see pictures of my neighbors in bikinis and pictures of my high school sweethearts in bikinis, that's really all I want. And what I wish would happen on Facebook is we could just have a section, another tab that says in bikini. We could go to a page for a woman or a guy and click, or non-binary, oh, I got to tell you about that. And you click and it says in bikini. That's really would do it. But I have to tell you about two competition stories, two anti-competitive stories that blow away any nonsense you may have heard about the past few weeks. Just blow it away. Nothing could even touch what has happened in the past. You and I are talking to each other across the nation, going across Route 80, 71, I-4 going up and down the East Coast, I-5 going up and down the West Coast. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Did you know it's legal to own a tank in Florida? And the Tallahassee Commissioner on Ethics does something unethical. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
Oh, this is the sweet spot of the ride, isn't it? You and I get to drive together in the cab of the 18-wheeler. The glow of the lights is just right. It's very romantic. The little refrigerator that you bought and paid too much money for and you don't tell your partner about has the best temperature for your soft drinks. And we get to have private time. I love being on the road at this hour. This is the perfect time to drive. Not too many people around. You get to look around in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. It's spectacular. Thank you for letting me be with you in your cab or car. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday night. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. Did I just use that cliche? And the name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. Tom in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter, great to talk to you again. I can't stay on the phone too long, but taking a break.
Neither can I, buddy. Neither can I.
I love your show because you talk about things that affect regular people. But then there's a couple of things that you discussed that I've lived in the same house for over 30 years. So moving is something I've only done like once in my life. And I don't envy you, your situation at all.
It's hell. But, it's a horrible situation.
I can imagine, because, you know, you collect things and you have things and you want to keep stuff and, you know. And you mentioned the check engine light in the car. Well, here in Missouri, you've got car inspection that just brakes, headlights, wipers, you know, can the car stop? Are the wheels going to fall off? You know, that sort of thing. And I've got a couple old cars. The check engine light has been on for 4, 5, 6 years. The darn thing still gets 42 miles a gallon. So I'm not going to mess with it.
Well, Tom, what kind of car is that that gets 42 miles to the gallon and has engine lights on?
An old Toyota Corolla.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say a Japanese car. I knew it wasn't going to be an American-made car. I knew it.
Yeah.
Now, how's that doing
like,
in the snow? Yeah.
They do fine. As long as it's
now,
not very
deep.
I have to ask you,
right. Now let's ask some important questions. On the TV show Below Deck, do you think Captain Lee was right throwing that woman off of his boat?
Oh dear, I rarely watch TV, I'll tell you the truth.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
888-688-WALT. There could be curveball questions at any moment. You have to be up to date on pop culture to play on Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. Thousands of program directors are listening to the show right now going, why should we clear this show? Yes, you should. And the reason you should is because no matter what I do, no matter how half it is, it's still better than a best of some old guy screaming at the Democrats. Who cares about that? Don't you guys get it? We have moved on. We have moved on long ago. It's sad. Now there's this trouble with Parler, a new social media platform that wants to launch off of Facebook and Twitter, and I don't understand it. Neither do you, frankly. But here's the deal. This is nothing. This is amateur night in the land of competition. Let me give you two stories. These are amazing stories. In the late 1940s, a man named Edwin Armstrong invented FM radio. No static. It was a tremendous improvement. And at that point, our entire culture listened to radio. Our culture was driven by radio, but it was AM radio, which was static. Here comes FM radio, invented by Edwin Armstrong, a brilliant man. And what Edwin Armstrong did is he built FM radio towers throughout the Northeast. He filed all the patents, and he was manufacturing FM radios, Armstrong FM radios, which were at a specific spot on the dial. It wasn't 88 to 107. It was at a different part. It was lower than that. It was like 45 to 80, something like that. That's where the Armstrong radios were. And I have one of these radios. You can get one of these radios on eBay. They were made before 1948. They're beautiful radios. And they got FM. Edwin Armstrong FM. Now, in order to do that, he had to build transmitters, Edwin Armstrong transmitters, that were specifically tuned. You know, when you listen to the radio, you're hearing it from a tuned transmitter that's sending out a signal to a specific frequency. If you're listening at 98.7, that transmitter's tuned to 98.7, and it's able to send out a signal to 98.7, and you pick it up. Well, Mr. Armstrong had transmitters tuned to his frequencies that were filed with the FCC, licensed by the FCC, approved by the federal government, patented up the wazoo. He manufactured the radios that could pick those up, and then started to create programming that would be appealing to you and me. A remarkable, revolutionary evolution. By the way, he did that in the RCA labs. He invented FM in the RCA labs. And that was his focus. He got the patents, FM radio, Edwin Armstrong, inventor of FM. Big success. Now, it actually started in the late 1930s but because of the war, they couldn't develop it. They weren't allowed to develop it. I don't know. Now, you talk about anti-competitive practices. Let me tell you, his competitor was David Sarnoff, the CEO of RCA, David Sarnoff. And Mr. Sarnoff wanted to spend all of his money on the development of color television. That's what he believed in. That's where he wanted his money to go. That's where he wanted to invest. He did not want to invest in FM radio or FM stereo. He had no interest in that. To him, those were silly things. What he did was unbelievable. David Sarnoff had provided a lot of radar equipment and radar technology to the U.S. government during World War II. That's how he got to be called General Sarnoff. He was no general. It was an honorary title. But he made everybody at NBC call him General Sarnoff. No, really, he'd walk around with a hat and a cane. Everybody had to call him the General. He was a great big phony. Powerful, brilliant, but, you know. He didn't want this FM radio. Now, listen to me carefully. This is anti-competitive. This is a real competitor. You know what he did? He went to the government and he said, these Armstrong transmitters and these Armstrong radios that are at 45 to 70 frequency, I don't think that's where they should be. I don't think that's where those transmitters should be. I don't think that's where those FM frequencies should be. And he convinced the United States government, David Sarnoff, convinced the United States government to shut those frequencies down. The U.S. government said to Armstrong, I'm sorry, you're just not going to be able to broadcast on those frequencies. And that meant that his new company, just like Parler, that means that his new company, Armstrong Radios, had to shut off the transmitters. Hundreds of transmitters, thousands of radios suddenly became useless. Tens of millions of dollars of equipment became useless. They were paperweights. His investment, useless. The patents, worthless. Because the government said, well, no, we're going to move the FM frequencies to 88 to 107. And those were controlled by RCA patents, not by Edwin Armstrong patents. That's what David Sarnoff did. That's a vicious, predatory competitor, the likes of which you and I can't even imagine. It destroyed Armstrong, destroyed his company, rendered his transmitters worthless, renders his radios worthless. I turn on an Armstrong radio today, it gets nothing. Because nothing's transmitted to it, because David Sarnoff convinced the U.S. government that nothing should be broadcast on those frequencies. And what was the result? Edwin Armstrong killed himself. That was the result. His factories were worthless. His radios had no value. They didn't work, and the poor man killed himself. It's 57 past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling. You and I have a lot to go over next hour. We'll review this. We'll be on the quiz. We're going to talk about the FM signals coming out of Jupiter. And I'll tell you about dance classes, my kids' dance classes and mine.
10 seconds.
And I have another anti-competitive story just as bad as that one. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A change in the weather pattern is taking shape in the western U.S., and it will finally lead to some rain and snow for parts of Northern California and the Four Corners region, consisting of Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. And this area is in the midst of a long-term high-end drought. More than half of the western states is in extreme to exceptional drought. But thankfully, precipitation is on the way this upcoming week. Unfortunately, the same pattern will carry some strong winds, perhaps damaging winds, to Southern California. But that too, there'll be some rain moving in a week's time. So look for wind gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour in cities like Palmdale and Santa Ana, California, with 25 to 40 mile per hour gusts in Palm Springs, LA, Santa Barbara, and San Diego. We'll look at the inauguration forecast for Washington, D.C. in our next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the Usual Edition from Public Radio.
Welcome to our award-winning newsroom. Everyone we hire is left-handed. This edition is made possible by a generous grant from the Soft Ice Cream Truck. Run to us. Run faster. Now, this report.
This week, history is refreshed and rebooted when the new president gets fresh business cards and buck slips. We all want to know, how will he redecorate the Oval Office? Oh, we are so excited. I now start my week sleeping on Nancy Pelosi's sofa and at the end of the day, Chuck Schumer's doorstep. That is where I feel the safest. The gathering of interns has begun. There is nothing more telling than the swelling of intern ranks, and that is the gift of the donkey. For a report on the blessed event around the world, let's enjoy whip-around coverage from James I Am Blind No More O'Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Rachel. My best to the Schumers. Our first report on the impact of the new president comes from fierce loyalists in Uruguay.
They do cook with a lot more grease than we do in the U.S., so my stomach had a little bit of a tough time adjusting to that, but once I did, I loved it. It was great. In addition to the pasta, they eat a lot of like rice and black beans, and it's definitely not Mexican type food though.
Now, let's coalesce with the people of Vancouver, home of the world's finest TV production.
Months of frustration boiled over onto the street.
This is, in our minds, a disaster, right? This is a humanitarian crisis, and in any other disaster, a natural disaster, government would move quickly to set up shelters, to mobilize resources.
Too much excitement.
To complete this blessed event, we have a surprising announcement. It's the freaking OJs.
She used to be my girl. She used to be my girl. She had a charm.
Well, things are getting back to normal because we had the OJs on. Now, we were disenfranchised from the OJs for a while because of a very practical and simple matter, which was they were in town. And I got in touch with their management. And I said, could I come by for 5 freaking seconds and record them saying, we're the freaking OJs, man, not you. I wanted them to contradict me in sort of that entertaining morning zoo way. I never heard back. And I called and called, never heard back.
My topic is female orgasm.
I just think that you said it just to be stupid.
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling on KFBK, Bill White's radio station. KFBK in Sacramento, plus dozens and dozens more from coast to coast. And I'm live. There is nothing else live at this time. That is the biggest selling hook for an advertiser or a potential affiliate. The show's live. Why wouldn't you want a live show at this time? I love to hear from you. That's really why I do the show, because I get to talk to you and I get to share ideas. My number is 888-688-WALT, And I have an email address. It's Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Oh, my God. Look at that. There's Neil Paul and Judy Anderson sending giant actual size photos of people on my email. Isn't that always a tough decision to make when you have to decide that the image you send should it be small, medium, large, or actual size? Because if you send it actual size, people might think you're braggadocious, that you have an ego issue, that you're why would they want it actual size even though you want it actual size? There's so many issues that come up. Speaking of issues, for the past 3 weeks, I have had the greatest challenge of any talk show host in America. There's no greater challenge than this. I could not get my printer to work. And I had another printer, and I could not get that to work. Did I need to download a new driver? I did. Did I need to put in new ink cartridges? I wasted money, and I did that. How many times did I reload the paper? As many times as it takes to download paper from a tree. It took forever. Finally, today, long after my show prep was over, I was able to print. And please remember that when your printer doesn't work, it is random when it does start to work. You've done everything over and over. You've reconnected it to the internet. You've re-put in the password. Is there anything harder than putting a password into a printer? Is that a big pain in the butt? I go through all of that. It makes the sound, and then it goes do-do-do-do-do-do. The do-do-do-do-do-do-do, which means that it's never going to print again. It's decided not to print again. And because I have a Mac and not a PC, it seems that every challenge is manifestly exaggerated. They're all meant to work with PCs, but PCs don't work. Macs work. What's that? Rattles? Rattles in Alaska. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Is that your name?
Yeah, that's my whole name.
Wow, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Out here in Pleasant Valley, where I live, things are pretty normal.
You're in Alaska.
Yeah, I live up here a long time.
And what do you do in Alaska? What do you do for a living?
Nothing.
Congratulations.
I'm done with working. I'm retired.
Well, that makes you the youngest listener that we have. Now, you watch that show, Ice Road Truckers?
No, I don't have a TV.
Congratulations for that. So what do you do for entertainment?
I don't sit there in front of a screen and occupy myself with that kind of junk.
So what do you do? What sort of junk do you do?
Well, I have my own radio program, so I record a lot of stuff here for my radio program.
And are you calling me to promote your radio program?
No, huh? No, I was wondering why you had the weather on. You had 6 after, 36 after, and you forget about the largest state in the union.
That will be fixed.
You know, last winter, we had the second coldest winter on record. And where was Al Gore? He wasn't up here to enjoy it.
And, you know, Al hasn't been around throughout this entire electoral process. We haven't heard a peep from Al. And yet he had a very similar problem in that there was a problem with his vote count. You remember that? It took weeks to put him into office. Thank you very much, Rattles. Thanks very much for calling at 888-688. WALT 888-688-WALT. Oh, look at that. It's 16 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 20 past the hour. You and I are driving across the country. It's a beautiful, icy night. We're enjoying each other. We get to spend time like this. I'm 14 inches away from this microphone. You're 14 inches away from the speaker. It's a very intimate and special relationships that we get to have. And it's why radio is a proven medium. It's worked for over 100 years. Oh, my God. All these other wacky startups, that's cute, very nice, hope it works, but odds are bad. I love it when I have to deal with digital people. And the digital people are like, well, you know, it's radio. They always talk to me as though I'm unclean. They talk to me as though I'm unclean. Oh, you know, you're in radio. You're in radio. Yeah, I'm in radio. It works. You know how you get on, how to make a radio work? You turn on and it works. Now, good luck with your little buffering now, downloading now, not enough disk space. Go to the A drive, go to the C drive. Good luck with all that. The beauty of our medium is that I turn it on and it works. And I can adjust the treble, the bass, the mid-range if it's a fancy radio, or I can just sit there and enjoy it. It is a proven medium. It's not new, it's proven. And the great thing about our culture and our capitalism and about you and me is that when something works, we stick with it. We celebrate it, take advantage of it, and enjoy it. In the mid-1940s, there was this genius crazy man named Tucker who invented the Tucker automobile that had some fascinating features, such as when you turned the wheel, it turned the headlights, allowing you to light the way, and many other features, and a remarkable revolutionary design. It was quite something. But before he could build the Tucker automobile, listen to this. Before he could build the Tucker automobile, he had to get approval from a committee that said, yes, you can build an automobile, that it's all right for you as an American citizen to file these patents and start building an automobile. Now, who was on this committee? Was it social workers, doctors, great engineers, great tunnel builders? Was it brilliant city planners? Who was on this committee that decided whether or not you could start up a new auto company? It was Chevy, Ford, Pontiac. It was other auto manufacturers. Your potential competitor were the ones who decided whether or not you could start an auto company. So don't tell me about Parler and Facebook. That's nothing. Because, you see, the way this worked was the other auto manufacturers could see your patents, your manufacturing processes, your designs before they got to the factory. They had to approve every step of the way. This was a cheesy excuse to see everything you were thinking of doing, planned to do, or in fact had started to do. Can you imagine? That's what Mr. Tucker had to go through before he was able to make one prototype. And I think what he did was he made, I don't know, a couple prototypes. The prototypes that exist now are worth over $1 million because they were once so revolutionary and so rare. But there are two remarkable examples of anti-competitive practices that don't even begin to touch some cute little software or social media platform. I don't care about you. There it was, the man who invented FM radio. His competitor was David Sarnoff, and he said, I don't want anything more to do with this FM radio at these points of the frequency. You're going to have to shut down. Went to the federal government. Federal government said to the inventor of FM, no, sorry, you can't use that frequency. Gee, we changed our mind. The transmitters and radios suddenly became useless. The man killed himself. And then this Tucker automobile, before they could even get to a prototype, their competitors had to, one, review their plans and approve it. Oh my God. There's nothing compared to what had to happen here with Parler. And by the way, you want to communicate with other people of a similar point of view. Why don't you call them? Why don't you call them? Why don't you join a club? Go to a Elks Lodge. All right, what else have I got for you tonight? Well, that's about it. No, listen, we're going to talk about the Parma Diner. I remember, I don't know how I had blocked this all my life, but the dance classes that I went to in 7th and 8th and 9th grades were horrendous. And the move, I have to do a move. Let me talk to you about this. My daughters go to competitive dancing. They do competitive dancing. What does that mean? In case you're uninitiated, I will share it with you. It was something I knew nothing about. It was a whole world I knew nothing about. But this is what it is. These kids who are 14, 15, 16, they learn ballet. They learn, what's the other thing they do? Well, let's just stick with that. They learn ballet. And then three or four times a year, they put on fancy costumes. They go to hideous auditoriums with bad sets, and they dance for 2 days. And then judges who may or may not be on the level give them notes, say that they could do better, give them a lot of ribbons, way too many participation trophies. I have never understood the awards they get. Like, they all seem to get an award, but not the good ones. Like, why don't my kids get the good awards? Why do my kids come home with a dozen ribbons and they always seem sad about them? I don't understand how it works. Both of my daughters are on point in ballet. They're both on point in ballet. They go to dance. They love it. They get pizza after. I'm very proud of them. I am proud of my daughters for this. But I was reminded of something I had forgotten about for years. And I don't know how I forgot this for years, but my God. Did you ever go to ballroom dancing class? Where I grew up, and most of the Northeast and in all the big cities, there were ballroom dancing classes that were designed to feed us into the real social network. It was designed to feed us into the real social network, the coming out social network, and I don't mean gay. This is high society, where you go, you dance, you meet other kids. The girls wear white gloves. But the guys learn a lot of really important things besides the waltz. This is where I learned how to meet people. Look them in the eye. Firm handshake. How to sit. How to greet a woman. How to ask a woman to dance. How to take her back to her seat. For some reason, this took, you know, weeks. It took weeks to learn how to take a woman back to her seat. But what was the real issue here? In every one of these dance classes was the girl. There was a girl sent from heaven that every boy wanted to dance with. Now, they were very smart in these dance classes. They did not let all the boys ask one girl to dance all at once. They arranged things so that it was civilized. And the minute you were dancing, you realized that there was a whole nother problem, that there was a profound other problem. I went to the Barclay dances, but there were others. There was the Knickerbocker Dance School, the Barclay Dance School throughout the Northeast, and I'm sure throughout the rest of the country. This had traumatic and profound effect on my life, as does the competitive dances for my kids. With ballet, what else do they dance? No, they don't do the Irish folk dancing. Thank God. I could not even begin to deal with that. But it's a remarkable world. And one of the things that fascinates me is private worlds. You go to any hotel on the weekend, on a Saturday morning, a Sunday morning, especially Saturday mornings, in their events rooms, those rooms are often filled with having nothing to do with guests in the hotel. It's all these other worlds that only exist on Saturdays. And they go there and they go to these events room, and I'll tell you in just seconds about the most bizarre events that I saw in one of those hotel rooms when I was stuck in a hotel for a weekend because of an ice storm. 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave, and all eyes will be on the nation's capital this coming Wednesday. And fortunately, the weather forecast is a good one, with mostly sunny skies and seasonable temperatures. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will have to wear some winter coats, as there will be cool, brisk winds with temperatures in the upper 30s and lower 40s. Meanwhile, that western storm that we talked about earlier will progress to the southeastern U.S. for the latter part of the week. Look for 2 to 3 inches of rain to fall across most of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas, with possible flooding issues in some areas. New England and the areas to the east of the Great Lakes will see some snow showers and snow squalls, variable clouds through the eastern big cities, with temperatures in the lower 40s, cooling to the mid-30s by week's end. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. This week on Florida Stories, we're going to start with a couple of news items here that were viral. They're saying wildlife officials are looking for a Florida man who carved Trump into the back of a manatee. But how do you know the manatee didn't want it there? Why do you assume he's a Biden supporter? And then the other viral item I saw was there was a video being passed around of a tank going through a neighborhood in Florida. Some people online were cheering. Some people were a little freaked out. Oh, my God, why is there a tank rolling down my neighborhood? Turns out it's completely legal. It's legal to own tanks in a lot of states in America. And if you live in Florida, don't you see stuff far more bizarre than that on a daily basis?
Wait,
Hold my beer.
I also learned this week that, you know, the old Looney Tunes cartoons where Bugs Bunny goes and he cuts Florida at the base and saws a line there so it kind of floats off into the Atlantic. Well, there was a plan to do that almost happened twice. They started in the Great Depression. It was one of these public works projects where they were going to build a canal from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic right there across the base of Florida. And it would be brilliant for shipping and whatnot and make Florida sort of like the central hub of American shipping. But it got canceled because World War II took resources away from it. And then LBJ started it back up. Nixon canceled it with an executive order. But it had already been started. It's a whole thing. You should look it up.
Hold my beer.
For our first Florida story, we go to Tampa, Florida, where a 51-year-old Tampa man, I don't know what his motivation is, but he wanted to try and burn down this house. So he took the top off of his gas can, and it's a metal gas can. He tried to throw it through the house. Now, the thought is, the metal gas can hit with some other metal. I don't know if it's iron bars on the window or aluminum frame of the window itself. But the spark sets the gas can on fire, and it blows up as it's going through the window. So most of the blast hits him. And so then he's just wandering the neighborhood, and the cops find him looking like Anakin Skywalker at the end of episode 3. And he's still in the hospital. He didn't even catch the house on fire. It was a total fail.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Tallahassee, where the city of Tallahassee has a couple of people in offices adjacent to each other in City Hall that had an affair. Both of them are married. It gets ugly. One accuses the other of stalking, and then word gets out. And it's even more embarrassing because, in the Florida twist, the lady in the relationship is the Tallahassee Independent Ethics Officer. She's literally in charge of training the Tallahassee city employees in ethics. She's pretty cute, too.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we have a pair of teenage boys. One of them's 15, one of them's 18. They're at an 18-year-old girl's house. I use the term loosely. It's in a mobile home park. Nothing wrong with living in a trailer, but when it's almost 4 in the morning on a Saturday night and you get kicked out of the trailer and you don't have a ride home, you could just walk a few miles, or the boys decided instead that they would steal a golf cart. Cops found them driving down the road. Right after the lights came on from the cop car, the golf cart ran out of batteries. And I'm thinking what you're thinking. What the hell is a golf cart doing in a trailer park? Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we have a St. Petersburg man. And he has an old friend who now lives in Atlanta, where they made a bet on who would win the election. Well, the Florida man lost, refused to pay up. And the guy is now suing the Florida man, taking him to court, saying the bets that you make online are legally enforceable in the real world. It's going to set an amazing precedent. Not really. Hold my beer. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, the second edition of Florida Stories from James Parker will be at 20 minutes past the next hour, 20 minutes past the hour. We have a lot coming up for you. We have Vic Ferrari with his True Detective Stories and a brand new feature. I'm not even going to tell you about it. It's a remarkable piece of production. So many things that we have to learn. Now, Judy, who discovered Sterling on Sunday on WBAP in Dallas. Judy calls in every week with a terrible joke. One might call them a dad joke. And we're always embarrassed. I always question my judgment in putting her on the air. But here's Judy. Tell us your horrible joke.
Okay. Walter, why are proctologists so gloomy?
Why are what?
Proctologists.
Why are proctologists so gloomy? Is that what you said?
Yes.
All right. Why are proctologists so gloomy?
Because they always have the end in sight.
All right, coming up, Lesbians in Space, Vic Ferrari with his police detective story, True Detective Stories, another Florida story at 20 past the next hour, Tollway Road News, and a brand new feature. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about because it's so cutting edge, so dramatic. I don't know how we can't win every single award. I'm Walter M. Sterling at 42 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, do you know you can hang out with the pack of about 40 wild vervet monkeys in the parking garage of the Fort Lauderdale Airport? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories. This is only
a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 47 past the hour. I was talking to you about the fact that when I was, you know, in middle school, I went to ballroom dancing classes. And they were designed to feed you into society, to where the nice people went to dinner, where the nice people hung out at the country club. It was basically so you would know how to behave at a country club. Now, we didn't really belong to a country club. We belonged to a, what was it, a social club. There were social clubs in our town. There was a real country club with the golf course and the swimming pool, but there was no way we were going to belong to that. I wanted to belong to that. My parents, they were like, no, we're not going to be belonging to that. And because they knew that I'd screw everything up. They knew that if we belonged to a country club, I was going to ruin everything. However, in my 20s, I got on this other track. I've never told anybody this before. In my 20s, I was in my 20s. I was like 23, 24, 25, in there. And I got on this other track with a different group of people in Manhattan. And this was a white tie and tux crowd at the Plaza Hotel, at a variety of hotels. And I went to three different coming out balls where girls were introduced to society. And I'm sitting there at the table, and I noticed some interesting things about these coming out balls. First of all, I was the only person in the room who knew anybody with a vowel at the end of their name. I had many relatives with vowels at the end of their names. I'm pretty sure I was the only one who knew anybody like that. Secondly, and this was interesting, and this actually was a problem. Sometimes you'd go around the table, and there were other 20-year-olds, and they'd look at you'd look at them. And I realized that they all had much smaller noses than I did. Much better haircuts. Much better haircuts. And we'd go around the room and we'd say, you know, what we did for a living. And what we did for a living was that one worked at that venture company. I work at Goldman. Okay, you work at Goldman. And this other one, I work at J.P. Morgan Chase. And this one, they were all working in venture capital funds or hedge funds or commercial banks. Then it would come to me. And I would say, and what they did, it was interesting. What they used to say is, first they'd say, well, you know, I work in Greenwich. I work in Manhattan. I work in Rockefeller Plaza. I work on Park Avenue. First, they'd say the geography of where they'd work. They would identify the validity of the geography. I work in Greenwich. Okay. So, but I, at the time, I worked in 30 Rockefeller Plaza. So it, when it came to me, I could say I work in 30 Rockefeller Plaza. Now, that was good. There were many venture capital funds there. Then they'd go around again and say, where do you work? And when it came to me, I'd say, I work at NBC. Silence. They'd try to pretend they didn't hear that. They went around again. Well, what do you all do? Now, let me tell you. I'm not bragging, but we were in our 20s, and I had a bigger job than any of them. I was an executive vice president at NBC. They looked at me when I said that, and I might as well have said, you know, I'm the supervisor on a ditch-digging operation in Appalachia. Why? Because I said I worked at NBC. I didn't work at Goldman Sachs. I didn't work at Drexel. And I didn't work at Drexel. They always say these things like Goldman or Drexel. They would say it with this reverence, like I say, like if you said, I work at the Vatican. Oh, you work at the Vatican. I work for the Pope. I'm the assistant to the Pope. That's how they said, I work at Drexel. And they'd sit up a little straighter, and people would look at them and go, oh, you work at Drexel. You work at Drexel. Wow, very good. Or, where'd you go to school? And they'd say, one of two answers. Either they went to Wharton or they went to Harvard. Because they had their Masters of Business Administration. The Masters of Business Administration course pretty much just teaches them how to be evil. That's the best that I can figure out. If anybody says they have an MBA and you're working with somebody with an MBA, watch your back. Because their whole point in life is to make things more efficient, which usually means that it has nothing to do with human beings. When they came back to me and I said, I work at NBC. One of them would say, oh, really? Yeah. And they wouldn't ask me any questions. And they'd talk to each other about banking and MBAs and banking and do you go to reunions at Wharton? And I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. Thank God they didn't ask me where I went to school. The next time it came to me and I said, I work at NBC, which meant I was in the circus. In their eyes, I was in the circus. They looked at me and said, there isn't much security in that sort of thing, is there? That there it was. There was no security in show business. And I looked at her and I said, there's security in anything if you're good at what you do.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
So the show's about four girls who their friend goes missing, and we started getting haunted by this girl named A or It. And it's just about people getting killed almost every episode, then people being brought back to life. And yeah, now hopefully everyone kind of knows who A is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you'll be able to see what he looks like.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
Welcome back to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
Did you watch any of the Celebrity Wheel of Fortune?
Welcome back to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
There's a show that's been on 30 years. There's Vanna White, and they finally gave her a microphone. This is the first time Vanna has had a microphone. And you know what? She introduces the commercial break. She introduces the commercials. She sums up what people have won. And you know what? She's really good. The show is better with Vanna speaking. And every time Vanna speaks, it startles Pat. Watch. Every time Vanna speaks, Pat Sajak is like, whoa, I guess there's no need for me. He actually said that once. I guess there's no need for me. You know, the contestants were speaking directly to Vanna. Is there an I? And she'd say, yes, there's an I. And Pat's like, well, what do I do? Pat, here's what you do. You work 5 days a month. The rest of the time, you spend time in those really comfortable chairs that you can sun in and live in. that only exist in California. No place else in the world do those chairs exist, where you can live in the chair. It's got built-in refrigerator, built-in USB ports. You just do that. Don't worry about this.
Welcome back to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
And notice that all the ABC games on ABC Game Nights are doing spectacularly well. Their ratings are fantastic. Match Game, Wheel of Fortune. What's the other big one? What's My Line? To tell the truth, they're all doing incredibly well. Plus that golfing thing, that insane golfing show, holy moly, it's all terrific. And they had abandoned them for so long, but now other types of entertainment, sitcoms, dramas, they're all super served by Netflix. Those are all super served by Netflix. They are much better on Netflix. And isn't it an amazing conceit of Americans that if an actor has a British accent, it's brilliant. If they have a British accent, if the show's done in England, if it's got a BBC tag at the end or a Channel 4 tag at the end, oh my God, this is a fantastic show. There's nothing this good here in America. There's a default in our culture that if it's made in England, it's good. Wow. But what I've noticed is if it's made in England, it has the high risk of being dull. Maybe that's just me. But their detective shows all take the same pattern, and their slasher shows all have the same pattern, and it's all the same actors. My number is 888-688-WALT. I am Walter M. Sterling. I only get to be with you once a week, Sunday nights from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., but thank God we're here, because it's a relief from all that other crap, like the Bitcoin stuff. Did you notice that William Devane in the Rosalind Capital commercial is now saying, I even like the feel of real gold. I like the feel of real gold. You know why he says that? He says it because the people who buy Bitcoin or are thinking about it, turns out the biggest issue in their minds is they can't touch it, which seems to be a really good issue to have. They can't touch the Bitcoin. They like real gold. We, as Americans, like real gold. And there's William Devane. Look at him on that big battleship in his bomber jacket saying, I even like the feel of real gold. Good for you, William. But I'm not going to take financial advice from a lifetime movie actor. Are you going to do that? No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Welcome back to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
And again, I've been wondering who actually runs America.
Here's my hand. Hold on. You don't have to be afraid. I won't let go.
It's William Shatner. Somebody has to really be running the country. I couldn't figure out who it was, and I'm like, I bet it's William Shatner. Hey, call me, 888-688-WALT. Let's talk, 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
Was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. A change in the weather pattern is taking shape in the western U.S., and it will finally lead to some rain and snow for parts of Northern California and the Four Corners region, consisting of Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. And this area is in the midst of a long-term high-end drought. More than half of the western states is in extreme to exceptional drought. But thankfully, precipitation is on the way this upcoming week. Unfortunately, the same pattern will carry some strong winds, perhaps damaging winds, to Southern California. But that too, there'll be some rain moving in a week's time. So look for wind gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour in cities like Palmdale and Santa Ana, California, with 25 to 40 mile per hour gusts in Palm Springs, LA, Santa Barbara, and San Diego. We'll look at the inauguration forecast for Washington, D.C. in our next report. I'm Dr. Dave Eiser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a story from my book. So every NYPD precinct has characters that hang around the station house. They're kind of like mascots. They're either, they have nowhere to go, they're old, they're emotionally disturbed, and as long as they don't cause too much trouble, they'll let them hang around the precinct. So in the early 80s, when I was assigned to the 4-2 precinct in the South Bronx, there was an old-time Spanish guy that would hang around the precinct. He was a short little guy, and he thought he was the boxer, Hector Macho Camacho. Now, he wasn't, but he would run up to guys and want to box them. So here I am, a rookie cop. I'm walking into the precinct my first day with my uniforms in my hand, and he comes running up to me, and he goes, "I'm the Macho Man. I have the power. I want to box." And I said, "Listen, pal, get out of my face. I'm your father. I'm going to show you how to box." So I put my uniforms down in a car, and I square off to fight this guy, and one of the old-timers comes running out, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to knock this guy out." He goes, No. This guy's invaluable. He watches our cars so crackheads don't break into them." So the Macho Man was a fixture around the station house. He'd be in the gym. Sometimes they'd let him go into the lunchroom. And other times the old-timers would dress him up in a police uniform, and he'd be wearing everything but the gun, and they'd march him into roll call, which would piss off the platoon commander. So the Macho Man was a fixture on the station house until, sadly, he had substance abuse problems, and he got stabbed in a hallway in the South Bronx. So the next time you're in an NYPD precinct, look around and see who's not wearing a uniform or who's sitting around. You just might be able to catch a really interesting show. So check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Everybody who calls in, if you get the mystery sound right, you will get a copy of Vic Ferrari's book. Is that nice? Like, it's an incredible radio show. 888-688-WALT. That is my phone number, 888-688-WALT. Now, this week was an amazing, amazing piece of news. Did you hear it? One of the moons of Jupiter, it was detected, is sending out an FM signal from its north pole. It was only about 5 seconds, but it sent out an FM signal. The rover, whatever thing that was on Mars that caught this, the satellite that caught this, was scheduled to be shut down in a couple months. Instead, they've decided to extend its life till 2025 to see what else it could pick up. Now, let's just imagine you and I are out there, or you and I can listen. There's an FM signal. Then I came to learn there's a phrase called the music of the spheres. And I thought it was just, you know, quaint Greek mythology. Well, it isn't. Every planet and every moon actually generates music, actually generates sound. And I'm going to play you the sound of Jupiter. And I want you to please listen to it because it's spookier than hell. No, I didn't make it up. No, it isn't from a sound effects record. It's from NASA. This is actually what the sound waves off of Jupiter sound like. That's what Jupiter sounds like. And every planet has a different set of sounds that it emits. You want to hear that again? I'll play it again in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. Yes, thank you. for our next Florida story. We're going to Key West. A floating tiki hut bar goes from dock to dock, bringing people happiness, selling drinks. You can also rent it out for parties, but a drunk man decided to steal it. The ship's name is the Squeaky Tiki, and it was returned with only minimal damage. Now you're asking, well, that's not that crazy. Why are you telling me about this? It just kind of has the Florida feel to it. You know, I'm not saying this could only happen in Florida, but when someone steals the rental tiki hut bar called the Squeaky Tiki, that's a lot more likely to happen in Florida than, say, Utah. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we have an Orlando waitress that is an absolute hero. She's a mom herself, so she's sort of attuned to kids. When an 11-year-old boy comes in with the family and he's the only one not eating, she takes another look at him. He's got a bruise on his elbow. He's got a pretty serious scratch between his eyebrows. He's got a little bit of bruising on the bottom of his ear. He looks a little malnourished. He looks a little pale. And so the way the table is arranged, she goes and stands behind the mom and the dad, and while talking to them, holds up a note that the boy can read that says, "Do you need help?" Question mark. And the kid got what the waitress was doing, and he nodded yes. So she goes and calls the cops. She's like, "I don't know what to do. I think this kid's being abused. It's so hard to tell." So the police come and they talk to the mom and dad, and they're really good at recognizing these things. They knew something was up. They go check the house. And sure enough, there's evidence that he had, like when the parents leave the house, he had been handcuffed to furniture and they hit him with broomsticks. And it really was a horrible abuse situation. And it was all because a brave waitress had the guts to make that little sign and then stand behind the parents. It's brilliant. She's nothing less than a hero. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we have a 25-year-old Florida man who finds a beautiful girl online and falls in love with her, and they start chatting, but she's not really as interested in him. She's a beautiful girl. She has a lot of options. She lives in Boise, Idaho, by the way. After a while, she gets sick of him, tells him he's a dork, he's not even that attractive, and he goes psycho on her. So he basically starts cyber-stalking her and threatening her and then sending her crime scene photos of young girls about her age who've been murdered in heinous ways. That's illegal. She reports him to the cops. Cops come pick him up. He's in jail and still single. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Dania Beach, Florida, where right outside the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport is a pack of wild vervet monkeys. So, yeah, you heard correctly. 40 monkeys lives next to the parking garage of the airport in Fort Lauderdale. The story goes back to a wild animal sanctuary just across the forest where some chimpanzees and other species of monkeys have lived fenced in. This one pack of vervet monkeys escaped a few decades ago, and they hang out in the parking garage at the airport most of the time. If you leave your window open, they'll go through your console looking for butterfingers or whatever. Now, you're not supposed to feed them. You're not supposed to touch them. You're not supposed to mess with them, but they're not harming anyone else either. And it's one of the few monkey species that doesn't carry any diseases. So they're not even dangerous and they're really small. So it's just kind of a cute thing at the parking garage of the airport in Fort Lauderdale. You get to hang out with vervet monkeys. Their favorite food? Bananas. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to St. Augustine, Florida. An RV goes into the restricted area of the St. Augustine Water Treatment Plant and stays there. So a city employee calls the cops. The cops come try to talk to the man. He won't open the door. So they try talking to him through the door. He tells them to go away. And so now we have a siege. So there's a 5-hour standoff with St. Augustine cops and a dude in an RV. Turns out there's a kid in there with him. The kid walks out unharmed, no trouble. Eventually, the man with the RV is dragged out of there, too. His name? Joe DiMaggio. No, not that Joe DiMaggio. This is a 54-year-old Florida man, Joe DiMaggio. Seriously, his name's Joe DiMaggio. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 1 year. Most of my life, I lived in Manhattan. And now I don't. Then I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 1 year. Fort Lauderdale is the strangest place. It is Toontown. You go there to do nothing. That's the best way I can explain it. If you have ambitions, if you're a striver, this will kill your striver. You go there, and it's designed. You quickly realize that no one here is doing anything. They're sitting outside. Then they go to the store, but the stores are open and closed at random times. Then they go to the Parrot Cafe. This is a cafe that's open and closed at random times. It was terrific, but I was a striver. It was not a place for me to live, and therefore I wasn't miserable because it's beautiful. You go down the streets of Fort Lauderdale, they're beautiful streets with gazillion-dollar homes and no state income tax. But there are a couple things about Fort Lauderdale that are incredibly appealing, besides the fact that there's no state income tax. No matter where you are in Fort Lauderdale, you are 8 minutes from the airport. I had a 3 o'clock flight one day. It's 2 p.m. I'm at the airport. I realized that I had forgotten the most important thing possible for an airplane trip from Fort Lauderdale to New York. The most important thing. In the old days, before there were computers, when they didn't do computer work like this, the way you got upgrades is if you had stickers. Remember, the stickers went on the tickets. The guy behind the counter could write your upgrade information on there. And it was stickers. I had tons of stickers. I didn't have my stickers. I was at the Fort Lauderdale airport, no stickers. It's 2 p.m. My flight's at 3. I went to the parking garage where the monkeys are. I get back in my car. I go home. I get my stickers, come back to the airport. Now it's like 2:20. Plenty of time. Amazing. Put the sticker on the ticket, was in first class. Died and went to heaven to be in first class. 90% of the time I could get first class out of Fort Lauderdale because it wasn't Dallas. You're never going to get upgraded to first class in Dallas. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know why. That was the first thing. The proximity to the airport was amazing, and you never heard the planes. They flew out over the ocean. It was wonderful. And it was a manageable airport. It wasn't overbuilt. It wasn't like Miami. On the other hand, if you had to go out of Miami, good luck to you. They did something at the Miami airport I have never seen. I don't know if they're still doing it. Maybe you could tell me what. I never got a good answer as to what this was. People would bring their did you ever see this? People would bring their suitcases to the Miami airport. They'd put them on this turntable, and this turntable would wrap them in saran wrap. About 2 inches worth of saran wrap. It was the weirdest thing I ever saw. And then it would go into baggage claim. Into baggage claim. What was that? What was that about? There are things that I don't dare ask because I don't really want to know. My number is 888-688-WALT. Why at the Miami airport do they wrap suitcases in 2 inches of saran wrap? It was really weird. And there's nothing more terrifying than the Miami airport. It's just random acts of violence, people running around crazy, impossible to tell where the gate is, that gate is. Oh, my God. That's Toontown. And once you live in Fort Lauderdale, there's always this issue. Should I leave? Because I can't work here. I'm not going to make any money here. Or should I just stay and give up? It's one of those communities that sort of says to you, it's all right, give up. You don't have to do anything anymore. You've done enough work. But I'll tell you, there was an event. There was a reason that I left Fort Lauderdale. And it goes to my personality and maybe yours. There was one gas station in Fort Lauderdale. It used to be a Fina gas station. Now I think it's an Arco gas station. But it was owned by Wally. Wally owned this gas station and his dad. They probably had owned it most of their life. There was exactly one gas station in Fort Lauderdale. And I don't like the sense of having neighbors. I prefer to pretend that I have no neighbors. Are you like that? I don't want to have neighbors. And I drove a very unusual car down there. It was a Maserati TC. It was a Chrysler TC. The weirdest experiment Lee Iacocca ever did was he made a car with Maserati. They made a car together, and it was called a Chrysler TC. of which they made them for 3 years, very slow production runs. In 1991, there were 50 Chrysler TCs in white. That was it. I had one in white. Well, now, remember, I want to live a life of anonymity. I don't want anyone to casually bring a pie to my home. I don't want anyone to be casually aware that I exist. Don't want any awareness. One day, I pull into Wally's Arco station, and his dad was there. And his dad approaches me from the front. At no time had he been behind my car in this gas station. He approaches me from the front. He walks up to me. How much gas do you want? I told him. And then he said to me, you want me to fix that taillight? I'm like, what? I said, when did you see the back of my car? Last night I was behind you on the road. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Wally's dad had seen me the night before on the road. No. I said, no. And that was it. That's when I knew I had to leave. Had to leave. Coming up, I've got a brand new, amazing piece of production for you. I think you'll love this. It's unlike anything we've ever done before, except exactly like most things. Plus, I will have the latest in from Toll Roads today. You're aware of the fact that there is a newsletter for the people who operate toll roads, which again goes to the, just like Wally's dad, we have no hope. If the people who run toll roads talk to each other, what could this mean for us? You in the truck there, what could it mean for you? If you're spending $1,000 going across Pennsylvania from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, which is what it costs, if you're spending $1,000 for that, how do you think this will ever end if those toll takers, the people who run the tolls, are talking to each other? They're conspiring with each other. They're talking about how to handle things at planning board meetings. It's not going to go well. All right, I've got a lot of stuff for you tonight. Let's see what else I got. It's always a good list to look at things that we're going to do. Talked about my move. I did. Dance class, we talked about that. Something I can't read. What is that? Oh, yeah. And we did the drive-through brew, Florida stories. Well, it looks like we've aggressively gone down the list. So coming up next will be the toll roads today. Toll roads today. Nobody else is doing this stuff. Absolutely not. It's 29 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling on a fascinating winter night throughout North America, going across 80, up and down 95 and 5. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave, and all eyes will be on the nation's capital this coming Wednesday. And fortunately, the weather forecast is a good one, with mostly sunny skies and seasonable temperatures. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will have to wear some winter coats, as there will be cool, brisk winds with temperatures in the upper 30s and lower 40s. Meanwhile, that western storm that we talked about earlier will progress to the southeastern U.S. for the latter part of the week. Look for 2 to 3 inches of rain to fall across most of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas, with possible flooding issues in some areas. New England and the areas to the east of the Great Lakes will see some snow showers and snow squalls, variable clouds through the eastern big cities, with temperatures in the lower 40s, cooling to the mid-30s by week's end. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
We have been blessed to have great meteorologists. First, we had John Weatherby, who was fantastic, and now we have Dr. Dave Iser, who is a weatherman on WLS television. That's right, WLS television, which always gets far more respect than anything in radio. I played this a little bit earlier. There's an interesting history here. Much older than I thought. It turns out that it's from like 1952 and considered by many to be the first rock and roll record. I would debate that, but many experts say this was the first rock and roll record by The Crows. But we have to be demographically sensitive, and if you're going to start playing songs from 1952, Walter, you're going to have a big problems with those younger demos. Were you interested in this? I was kind of fascinated by this. Wait a second. We have to let that end. It's so stupid. I have the worst software. I used to have the best software. Oh, my God. It was terrible. I used to have the best sound software where I could play anything I wanted. It would end the other thing. Now,
welcome back
crazy.
To Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
Did you see all of these new ABC game shows? They're really smart. These are really smart. Now, listen to this. This proves that you and I have no hope. There is a publication called Toll Roads Today. And what it is, it's a trade publication for the people who run toll roads. And when I found this out, I'm like, they have a trade publication? Why do they need a trade publication? Why don't they just go away? But here's a sample of the stories from last week. New York Governor Cuomo outlined plans for a $306 billion infrastructure renewal. CTRMA announced a plan to open the final leg of Toll 183, Route 183. Three teams submitted proposals to develop Maryland's huge express lanes, P3. Oklahoma Turnpike widening project has started. There's good news. CFX reported ready to launch SR-429 widening this year. ASHTO scrutinized federal aid measures for State Department of Transportation's and toll entries. Biden proposed billions more federal aid for transit and state and local government. Biden proposed billions more federal aid for transit and state and local governments. They can't wait to dump the federal bucks into these roads and keep the tolls going. Here's the problem with tolls, besides what you know. That they're ridiculous. It's $16 to go through the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, and those were built almost 100 years ago, because the ostensible reason to collect tolls was to pay for the construction. But 99% of these roads were paid for long ago to pay for the bonds that were raised to get these roads built. But these were built long ago. So what they do is when the bonds are about to be paid off, is they raise more bonds. And here's usually the language, quote, in the interest of safety, the roads can be improved or widened in the interest of safety, and then tolls can be collected until those bonds are paid off. It's crooked as hell. It's ridiculous. My number is 888-688-WALT. How's your ride tonight? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I've got a brand new feature for you coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
We need to get you dressed.
I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. It is, 45 minutes past the hour, 45 minutes past the hour. We're having a good time tonight. There's no other show like this on American radio. Thank God. Thank God there's nothing else like this. Now, I was in Parma, Ohio this week, and I saw two amazing things. One, I saw the Martini drive-through brew, which I went into, and I've taken pictures of it. I have their logo and other information. We'll post it on Facebook this week at the Walter M. Sterling page on Facebook. Everything that you could possibly want is in the Martini drive-through brew on Pearl Road. Everything. And, you know, they're no longer, they're no bigger than the length of a car. The drive-through brew isn't like a Walmart. And therefore, they have to inventory and stock very carefully. And they did. They have fine imported and domestic beer, fine imported and domestic soda, any type of cigarette you could imagine. They do not, and this is unusual for drive-through brews, they do not have T-shirts. Most drive-through brews are very big on T-shirts. In fact, they find that it's their biggest business. I am fascinated by the drive-through brew business. I want to have a drive-through brew. Don't you? Because everything they select is perfect. It is the most efficient business there is. And like I say, the Martini drive-through brew on Pearl Road in Parma, Ohio, was a great thrill for me to see. I have taken pictures. You will be seeing them on Facebook. Now, the other thing that I learned in Parma was that they have a spectacular diner. And I love to take my audio recorder, put it on the table of wherever I am, and pick up whatever audio I can. Here's the audio I picked up at the Parma Parmesan Diner.
Down a long littered road, we find the Parma Parmesan Diner. As Parma goes, so goes the nation. There is strife at the diner today. Let's listen in.
And then she said, pour another cup of coffee, but I want a fresh cup. Oh, a fresh cup? She wanted a fresh cup. I was stunned. The place is totally packed, and she wants a brand new cup. I said, well, here's corporate's number. If you don't like the service, call them. If I'm still here tomorrow, you'll know they thought I was right.
Hey, table six wants more napkins. They made a big mess. You probably want to hurry.
Hurry? Do they want anything else?
Yes, a fresh coffee cup.
What is that mess in the back? Paper everywhere. Huge mess.
Looks like official papers. Something about the Board of Elections.
Oh, the table six. Are they going to ask me to deflate their kid's football?
What will the next course bring at the Parma Parmesan?
All you need to know is what I told you.
Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are sparking dating rumors after they were seen holding hands at a friend's wedding over the weekend. A source tells People they were in Montecito, California for the wedding and were, quote, affectionate around their friends as they held hands and looked very happy. The source adds that they've been dating for a few weeks. The pair are also seen holding hands in their formal attire and masks in photos obtained by Page Six. They were later photographed at Harry's Los Angeles home with luggage in tow. Their outing comes weeks after People reported that Olivia and her longtime partner, actor Jason Sudeikis, had split in early 2020. The pair first started dating in November of 2011, and Jason proposed shortly after the holidays in 2012. They share two children. This fall, Olivia and Harry worked together on the psychological horror film Don't Worry, Darling, which also stars Florence Pugh. Olivia pulled double duty on the project, co-starring and directing.
Let's review. Jason Sudeikis, a writer for Saturday Night Live and a funny man. He lived for 8 years with Olivia Wilde, 8 years, and they were Brooklyn people. They were the kind of people who would have brie and Brooklyn handcrafted beer and handcrafted leather goods and handcrafted tablecloths because they were from Brooklyn. And I'm sure they were vegetarians or pretended to be vegetarians. The whole Brooklyn lifestyle. And then they up and moved to Los Angeles. Now, before they moved to Los Angeles, they had children. They have two beautiful children that are young. They're like 3 and 6. But they gave them, you know, stupid names like Festus or something. You don't name kids, you know, Festus. I think it was something like that. You name them John and Billy. That's what you do. But these kids have long blonde hair. They look great. You know, they have the cool mom, the cool dad, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Mom met Harry Styles. Mom met Harry Styles, and what does Mom do? She runs off to the circus. She runs off to the circus with Harry Styles, leaving Jason Sudeikis and the two kids in their house in L.A. Like, what? Now, here's the deal. They were together for 8 years. They created two children. They'd been engaged for 6 years or something. I don't care why they didn't get married, but I'll tell you this. I care a lot about those kids. Because if you have kids, your job is to get married. I'm sorry, but I'm right. If you have kids, your job is to get married for legal reasons to protect the children. So you don't have trouble when you get to the airport. You better make sure all the names match. Good luck to you. And also the sense of security gives his kid. However, if you really don't want to get married, okay. But you stay together with the mom and the dad and the kids in one house forever. Unless one partner is abusive toward the other, mentally or physically abusive, sorry, that's the deal. Oh, I'm going to go find myself with Harry Styles. No, you don't get to go find yourself. You don't get to go find yourself with Harry Styles. I want to run off with the band, Olivia thought, I'm sure. She's run off with the band, and what has she done? She's left two beautiful kids at home sitting there thinking, what did we do wrong? That's the problem. Those kids are going to sit there and think, what did we do wrong? How could we have kept our beautiful mommy with us? Because by all reports, Jason and Olivia got along just fine. And if they had a bump, they could have worked it out. But many people don't think working it out is fun. It's not any fun. No, it's not any fun, but it's what you do if you truly love your kids. Now, have I presented a 1958 view of the world, an antiquarian bookstore view of the world? Too bad. Too bad. It's like my dad. My mom was sick for a long, long, long time, years, requiring long hospital stays. And my father would not leave her in the hospital. He sat with her every night. He slept in the hospital. And, I'm sorry. He would not leave her. He stayed with her every night. And I said to him once, I said, this is, you know, it's amazing what you've done. He said, do not say that what I'm doing is amazing. And my friend John there, he's doing the same thing for his wife. Don't say that we're doing something amazing. This is what a husband does. And my father was rarely directive, but he said, this is what a husband does. As in, this is what you signed up for, buddy. And I said to him, well, that's a lot of pressure. And he said, too bad. And he was right. And that's how I've lived my life, because that was his power of example. He took care of my mother like the most precious gift there ever was, because she was to him. And he took care of her that way till he died. Never left her side, because that's what a husband does. And therefore, when I was growing up, I never had any fear that they were going to get a divorce. I couldn't have even conceived of that. I couldn't have even conceived of that. Now, if one of them was throwing scotch bottles at the other, I would have hoped they'd gotten a divorce. But that was not the case. And it's rarely the case. And I don't think the situation with Jason and Olivia was that either. I think she wanted to go party and hang out with Harry Styles, watermelon sugar. I think it's selfish. In my opinion, it was selfish. And those kids are going to be screwed up because of it. You don't think so? Oh, they're going to be screwed up because of it.
Behind the image of a holy alliance.
I must tell them.
You can't. It is your secret duty.
Lies a sanctuary of unholy truth.
This place is a hotbed of sexual repression.
What kind of nun are you?
Not the kind I used to be.
I'm not really a nun.
I'm a private investigator hired by the church.
Susie Carroll disappeared last night.
But surely you don't think I'm guilty.
When trust...
Don't call me Shirley.
Everybody around here is guilty of something.
Don't even think about going anywhere. I want you where I can see you.
When innocence is a disguise.
Why should we stay here and get killed up one by one? Whoever's doing this is here inside this place. I don't want to be locked up with a maniac.
Everyone will live in fear of Judgment Day.
Father Anthony,
everything will be all right. I promise.
Alyssa Milano and David Keene.
There's a tunnel that connects all the buildings. We could take a look around those later if you want.
In a place where murder is someone's idea of salvation. Where everyone needs a guardian angel. No one will have a prayer. Because they've all been committing deadly sins.
There's that hypocrite, in my opinion. That hypocrite, Alyssa Milano. There she is promoting in a trailer an R-rated movie with men doing terrible things to her, nude, and yet she's all Miss Me Too. Did she show up at the trial for those poor women who were testifying against Harvey Weinstein? I don't think she did. Like, if you're going to do it, you need to do it through and through. It's 57 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Let's see. Here's my email address, waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail. And I have a Facebook page. It's spectacular. The Facebook page is Walter M. Sterling. It's at Facebook. The greatest gift that you and I can be given is a request for help.